There it is. Oh, good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Romance Bookmark with Brené Bernard. I wasn't sure that music was going to kick in. I'm going to be really honest with you. But tonight on the program, I have my favorite Texan, almost my favorite. Well, one of my top three. I should be really careful because there's some really powerful women that live in Texas. So, but you're in top three, top five? What do you think?
Yeah.
It's Patricia Walters, although W on Amazon, it just says W. Fisher.
Right.
And that's
yes.
Fisher with an S and a C. Because why leave it out if you don't have to?
That's right. Well, that's apparently what my in-laws said about their ancestors. They're like, no, we're keeping the C. So, yeah.
Absolutely. And if you just look up Patricia Walters Fisher on Amazon, apparently you have also, just a medical writer like crazy, books on asthma, books on the medical history of breathing disorders, all kinds of things. You're a wild one.
Yeah, I got a few things. I mean, I've kind of the Renaissance thing. You start in one direction in college, and then you go, oh, look, something shiny. And then you go over there, and then you study that for a while, and you just kind of keep adding to the pile of
that
knowledge.
That is awesome.
So,
I think it's awesome.
Yeah.
By the way, cowboys, technically shiny, I don't know, little dusty, little leathery, little sexy schmexy smell, you know.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I can see the attraction, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yes.
I can see the appeal over medical. So nobody's
and we're not talking about the football team. We're not talking about the football team. We're talking about, you know, like actual guys that work the land, cowboys.
No. Yeehaw, cowboys. Yes. Sorry.
Yes.
Clearly not in Texas. So I don't know how one would. Real cowboys. Now all
yes.
the football people are sending me hate mail.
You're
right. About how their cowboys are also
well,
real.
Well, cowboys are playing,
and
yes.
How are they playing? I don't pay attention to you. How is it going?
Yes, and they're doing very well, actually. And everyone's
oh, good,
very shocked
good.
At that.
Okay.
So it's
well,
a,
that's
it's a
good,
good
to know, because
Texas.
If it had gone the other way, then this it's like, oh, you know, no, the stadium is in black bunting, and it's a horrible seat. I'd be like, oh, I'm so sorry. So sorry.
Yeah.
Because they take it seriously
oh,
in
yeah.
that corner of the
yeah.
world.
Football is very important.
It's like religion, but I'm going to just go ahead and say it. Well, pretty well attended on Sundays in that, you know, I mean, you could almost say it's, you know, a requirement. Yeah, just, there you go.
Well, even in as peewee football, I mean, kids are starting to play football at 4 and 5. And it just goes up. And that's usually flag football. You know, and they usually don't play tackle until
oh, good.
They're about 10. Yeah, until they're about 10.
How cute is that, though? They're bouncing around out there.
Mm-hmm.
Their little helmets and or giant
yeah.
helmets on their little bodies and just
yeah,
it's just got to be kind of a comedy of errors. I'm thinking, because
yeah, and it, you know, it's like
complicated.
Any sport. Well, and it's funny because if you have a really good coach, they my brothers used to play football, and part of their requirement for their senior year is they had to coach peewee football, and so. They would alternate, make every kid play every position. Because, you know, there's always the kid that only wanted to play one position. But it's like, no, you need to play every one to see what it's like, you know. And that really, parents loved it. Of course, there's always one parent that was like, no, my kid can only play blah, blah, blah. But you know, whatever. It's just like, yeah, well, you know, get your own team. So.
Where do those parents, yeah, I don't know. I'm just always thrilled that, you know, my kid's in there somewhere, even if it's handed out water. I'm excited.
Right. Get in there.
Well,
show some sportsmanship.
I want to be supportive.
Yeah.
even if I have the most, I mean, she's, we'll see. Cross country was not her thing, but she enjoyed it tremendously. Let's put it that way. And
well,
someone,
I mean, she's young.
She
she's still learning.
She enjoyed it. She just loved it. But, you know, speed, we're crossing that off the list of, you know, natural,
oh, okay.
yeah, like, oh, okay, so running, not your thing.
Okay.
No.
Well,
no.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with being part of the caboose club, you know, as long as you just
enters
the race and finishes, you know.
Unless you have a bear or a mountain lion in pursuit, and
sure.
then you do want
sure.
that person in your group, because that's just going to slow down the you know, animal and give you a chance to get away. So that's what I told
her. Sure. You know, you want that person.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well,
yeah.
You know.
That altruistic gesture. Sure.
Yeah. That's what love's all about. That's right. So you need to slow down. I wanted to talk to you. I am not ready for 2015. I actually have put in a request to Washington, D.C., and to other powers, to the U.N., that I've decided to put it off for a month, and I think they should, too, just to give the whole world a month to just recoup and plan a little better, to have a better year. But you're blazing books out left and right, and I need you to stop that, because it's spoiling my hold.
Your plan, your grand
plan. My plan, because, you know, then they look at you, and they're like, well, clearly she's blazing. She's doing great. So get out there. What are you doing? There's nothing holding you back. Why can't you be more like Patricia? Good.
Yeah, well, you know, it's interesting. I thought I was going to get a ton of writing done over the holidays, and I got zilch done. I have four kids between, you know, 4 and 11, and it just wasn't going to happen. Nobody got
Why do you think we're going to get writing done over the holidays, though? Like, why? Because I did that. Every author I know is like, I'm going to get this done over the Christmas holidays or over this holiday, and no one I've talked to. And why do we tell ourselves that?
I think it's helpful. And, I mean, it's the season of hope, you know? So you kind of hope that you'll get,
optimism. Yeah.
You know, a little optimistic there, you know, things are happening at night.
And the elves, I kept hoping that the elves would come, and I wished for a completed manuscript for Christmas, and I got kind of let down.
Well, you know, if Dobby would come, the house elf would come, and just do my housework, I would have time to finish. So that would be fine. You know, I'm fine writing it. I'm just not real thrilled with, you know, homework. And I mean, I'm not homework, but housework.
Okay, I'm going to ask you then. Yeah. The ultimate, are you ready? This is a tough, this is like a Sunday morning question, you know, on Meet the Press and stuff. Are you ready? So what about the moral dilemma of a house elf? Because got one, right? They're sort of slaves of your family.
Sure.
But the appeal of a Dobby, I'm kind of with you on that. It's huge.
Yeah.
Huge. So I don't know.
Well, you could, because my kids have talked about it, and they said, well, if we had a house elf mom, he would have his own room, and he'd have a bed, he'd have days off, and, you know, we would be very nice to him. And so everybody's on board with being, you know, it's not a servant per se, but it's someone who comes to help. So it's all about perspective.
Right. So you're
going
to
have
to spoil your house elf.
Yes.
Okay.
Very
nice. Okay. I love that. All right. I'm putting that down. That's a good compromise. That's a good one.
Yeah, I think so. Because, you know,
I
mean,
feel guilty
house elf,
wishing for a house elf. I always feel a little guilty because I'm like, oh, kind of poor little guy.
Oh, no, I mean,
walking around wearing a dish rag.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here's a tissue. Yeah, Harry.
Thank you. Yeah. Poor Dobby.
I know. It's like, everybody thought Hagrid was going to be the one to bite it, but oh no. They took out the little guy. Oh man, brutal.
And you know, it's interesting because I remember we're letting our 11-year-old see the movies because she's reading the books, but she's not reading them as fast as we want her to see the movies. So she doesn't know that yet. And so I'm cringing.
Sorry.
I'm just cringing at that. No, she's
spoiler
upstairs
alert.
Asleep. But I mean,
yeah,
she's just gonna really be upset about that one. But I think that the whole point is to show how awful Bellatrix is. And so, I mean, we kind of it's obvious, you know, as if we were questioning it at all,
right?
You know, here we are. So I think that it just kind of jumps her in that
wouldn't after
category.
The torture of, you know, Neville's parents and everything else that was going on. I don't know. For me, the bigger question as a writer was the interesting point that in children's books, it's like it could be like Hamlet. It's the body count. It can be tremendous. But in romance, I mean, I am writing for adults, and everybody better come through unscathed, pretty much. I can kill a villain, but I cannot kill the hero's best friend or somebody's, you know. I mean, it's fascinating to me, the rules of certain.
And you can't kill the dog.
No.
You can't kill the pet.
No pet death. Yes.
Right.
No, I think you and I talked about that.
Dies,
I had a friend who threw one off a cat off a balcony. And I said, it's over. And she's like, no, the cat's okay. And blah, blah, blah. And I said, it doesn't matter. That's it. He's not the hero of the book. And she's like, but he is. I said, no, he isn't.
No, he's not.
He just threw a cat. He called it a name and flung it off a balcony. said, it's over. It's
over.
He's
done. Yeah.
We're done now.
Absolutely.
I don't care whether or not he's happy.
You can have a child's death, but it has to happen prior to the story starting. So, like, you know, if you have someone recovering from an awful situation.
That's true. Okay, I didn't. You're right. You can have, like, he's a widower, or you can have, like, a death that happens, what do they say, off stage.
Right. Exactly. Yes.
Before the curtain rises, there can be a plague before the curtain rises, but once you're starting, everything needs to go well. But that's a modern construct. But that's a modern construct. I'm reading, because I write historicals. I mean, you're doing contemporaries, but I look back and I'm like, you know, they would cream people pretty regularly.
It's weird. So, but with like the Tuscany series that I'm writing, it's not. I have some things happening, and some of it's kind of deep. But I mean, I'm dealing with foster to adoption in the third book. Mm-hmm. I'm dealing with spousal abuse in the second, and I'm dealing with in the fourth book, I'm dealing with a hospice. One of the characters is in hospice that has been mentioned through the story, but she's not a main character. But you know, she's there. But I've been hinting that something's off the whole time. So, now we get her story and her sister's story. And so I'm hoping that it also deals with adoption as well. So it's been a harder one to write because there's a sad part to it.
You've got such a good hand at it though. I guess, in a way, those serious themes, they're woven through and they're emotionally grounding those characters, and I think it's absolutely appropriate in that series. And I love it. I think that's wonderful, the way those themes come into your writing. I think it's when people drop it in like a bombshell, you know, without warning for shock value or for a cheap, turn. That's when readers probably get upset.
I was kind of like laughing because after, you know, we were talking about Nicholas Sparks or something, it was like, this new movie came out, and I was laughing because it didn't get good reviews, and I thought, well, of course it won't, because we all know someone's going to die. I'm not going to invest 2 hours of my time with one of them dying. You know, I'm not going
to
do
Nobody's
it.
Nobody's going to die. That's right. But there is a happily ever after. And with Tuscany, Texas, I know it's not a place, but I think you're getting more and more people to start looking it up on Google Maps and try to figure out where it is.
I know, it'd be kind of funny. Yeah, maybe I should put it somewhere.
I was going to say, I think you might be on to something there with the secret town that people find it.
Yeah, but everybody in the room of firemen.
Okay, so it's Patricia W. Fisher, FISPHER, and everybody, book 4 is coming out the 19th of this month, so you still have time to catch up. So Amazed by You is coming out, Lone Star Love is out, Deep in My Heart is out, and Carried Away. Is that right? Did I get it right?
Yes.
Maybe not in order.
Deep in My Heart is the first book, and it is free right now.
Okay. Woo, free!
Yes.
All right, everybody. We'll see you next week for more of the Romance Bookmark, and I hope you are all off to a great year. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
This show brought to you by Circle of Seven Productions. www.cosproductions.com. Please be sure to subscribe and welcome to our circle.